Father, Lord, this week in my life, there's been reminders that I am totally dependent upon you. And Lord, there are times when, Lord, I get full of myself and I think I can do it on my own. And Lord, you're so gentle and you're so kind and you're so merciful that you gently remind me, Dane, I am God and you are not. And I thank you for that. And so, Lord, we're coming before you this morning on behalf of our sister, who we love very much, but you love her more. God, we thank you for what you've done in her life just recently. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the way you've touched her life and the way you encourage her. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of Mr. Dale. Lord, we thank you for their testimony of faithfulness to the body of Christ. And Lord, we intercede for her today. Lord, Dusty shared out loud needs and wants. And so, Lord, we're coming in agreement with that, asking you, Father, from the throne of heaven this morning to touch her body, to touch the cancer. Lord, I want to ask for everything. I want to pray that you restore her beyond just that healing. That, Lord, you take away that bird flu thing that she's dealt with for years, decades. God, we're placing this before you. God, mindful that your sovereignty is more than we can comprehend or understand today. But Lord, we're thankful that we're going to keep knocking at the door. Lord, we're the woman in the middle of the night pestering the judge. And so, Lord, we keep doing that. We thank you for your time with us today, Lord. We thank you that your presence is ever with us. And Lord, this time together in the body, may it be pleasing to you. We love you and bless you. Blessings on Mr. Dale and Miss Beverly this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, moving to what I believe God has on our heart this morning, we're going to start out with a little video. And even though it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek video a little bit, I think that every one of us that deals with getting up on Sunday morning and attending worship service can relate to it in some form or fashion. All right. Well, let's see. All right. This morning, I will tell you what we're going to be talking about, why John speaks, or why he gets the video up. That this morning, the title of what we're going to be talking about is, in very short, are you squeezing God out of your life? Are you making time for Him? Not like you're supposed to, but like how He desires you to. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians, a little scripture in Ephesians. And it's going to be very brief, the scripture is. And also we're going to be looking at some scripture out of Luke this morning. It's going to be Luke chapter 10, verses 25. And we're going to be looking at the scripture of in Luke where the young man comes to Jesus and in essence asks him the parable, it's the story before the parable of the Good Samaritan where Jesus gets asked, what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus reminds him of doing certain things and then sums it up by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and your neighbor as yourself. And then the gentleman says, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus then goes ahead and tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the reason why I put that scripture in there is I think one of the ways that we squeeze God out of our life is we spend a lot of effort and time on justifying why we can't have Him be Lord of all of our lives. I mean, that young man said he wanted to follow Jesus, and when Jesus laid down the criteria, he still wanted to find a way around it. He still wanted to find a loophole. And I believe so often in our culture today, in our country today, in particular the Christians in America today, that we're all in until we decide that we're not all in. And then we have our reasons and how we go about squeezing God to the side ever so gentle. And then we wake up one morning and we'll say something like, well, God, why didn't you do such and such? Yesterday morning, I saw a little thing. It's on Discovery Channel. It's been Shark Week. And one of the things they showed yesterday morning is in World War II, three men were stuck in two lifeboats out in the ocean for 47 days. And one of the gentlemen said, you know, I was an atheist when we went in the boat. But I decided soon after that I needed something bigger than me. And how he began to pray. And literally, the sharks were circling. And are you cold, Martha? Okay. All right. John, you getting make any progress? All right. But as you look at this today, as John gets that video ready for us, just think about in your life, how much time, how much effort, how much of your resources are really at God's disposal? And how do you go about seeing how God wants total control of your life, balancing how you give Him total control of your life? Well, I do hope this afternoon that you can make it down to the beach, because that is a great time. And I can speak for two of the two teenagers that are getting baptized. They're kind of going into this wide-eyed, meaning they really don't know all to expect from this. First of all, I've encouraged them, meaning I've mentioned Shark Week. We're going to have Abby swim way out there, because when she's swimming, she probably kind of looks like a seal. And so that'll kind of help us. But the two young people that are getting baptized, guys, this is all new to them. They, the church stuff, they haven't been tainted by man's version of church. And, so when you see Kayshel and Patrick get baptized later this afternoon, you're seeing two young people. They're absorbing it all and taking it in. And, they are great kids. I've just come to know Patrick through Logan's faithfulness of inviting people. Patrick Kane came to summer camp and accepted Christ there. And Kayshel processed through summer camp and eventually accepted Christ there also at this year's summer camp. But they are great kids and enjoy to have around. And this afternoon, when you're out there, if you're able to be with us, and you see those two being baptized, and we'll talk, Dusty will mention this on the beach. He'll say, be sure and be praying for them. Please be praying for them. Because when they go back home, they are not surrounded by individuals that want to see them grow in their relationship with the Lord. So when us, the body, around any of them, but in particular those two you see baptized today, you have an opportunity to help them grow when you see them on Sunday morning. When you walk up to them and tell them you're proud of them, there aren't people lined up telling them they're proud of them. Okay? I mean, most of us who have kids that are in this congregation, they have people lined up, but not those two. Okay? And, Kayshel has God brought her into our family's life a few years ago, and, just to see her mature to be a young lady is a wonderful gift. And to see Patrick, come along in a few months is a wonderful, wonderful gift. And they are been very faithful to our youth group. And, for Kayshel, she's getting ready to start school next Monday. Not tomorrow, but next Monday. And talking to both of them about being salt and light in the school. And they'll say, yeah, I've already been thinking about that. And how God's been working in their lives. And how many more do we have, Dusty Rick? How many more do we have? Two more? Got Will Barnes and Will. Will's going to be one of them. And then Lynn Thompson. Okay.
You get the kids ready, and then we'll get going.
No. Hey, what? You just lay out their clothes, because it takes me 5 minutes.
Honey, that's perfect. Seriously.
Jack, well, we're already late for church.
Hey,
go. Brian. Go get yourself dressed.
Did you pick up my stuff from the dry cleaners?
Make it, break it. Make it, break it. make, break.
Okay, Jack, I'm gonna make you waffles.
Can I have a sandwich?
Yes, but you gotta make it by yourself. Jack! Okay.
This is all I could find, and the zipper's broken.
All right, I'll go grab the safety pin.
I have the high score!
Hannah, what are you doing?
Daddy, I'm painting your fingernails.
Well, that's great, sweetie, but go get dressed.
I need you to stay still, okay? Honey.
Hannah!
Come on, let's go!
Okay, everybody needs to eat. Here you go. Here you go. Okay, here you go.
I forgot my shoes. Oh,
honey, we gotta go back.
Here you go.
I wanna take off my shoes.
Nobody's taking off their shoes. And I want everybody to understand that we're going to what?
We made it.
Yep.
So how many of you could have that video filmed at your own house sometime? Huh? Like I told you, it was kind of tongue-in-cheek in a way. But what I told you we're going to speak about or share about earlier, I just feel that so often that video really represents the way we live day to day. And especially when it comes to the personal nature of a relationship with God. I mean, they were no more physically prepared than they were spiritually prepared to be there. I mean, they probably sat through a service and thought about all the things that went wrong that morning. I mean, and the fact that that guy was sitting there, tongue-in-cheek, of course, with the hair missing, I probably would have just gone back home and called my mom and said, we got an emergency situation you know, there. But really, on a very serious note, John, go ahead and put the first scripture up, is that I do feel like in America today, we struggle with that type of mentality, that type of day-to-day living when it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That we're jumping, we're just trying to get by, trying to squeeze Him in. And I'm sure at the end of that day, that type of family would say, yeah, we went to church and we heard a sermon. But did they experience the presence of God? Because, I mean, we can go to the Waffle House right now and we could experience God there. But there's supposed to be something powerful about the body gathering. It's supposed to be. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's what the Bible shows us. That's what the church around the world. Why do you think the Chinese church got up this morning and met in secret? What were they putting themselves at risk for? They were putting themselves at risk because they believe gathering in the presence of God with the body of God is powerful and life-changing. So let's look at this first scripture. It says in Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, therefore be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. Amen. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Go to the next one, John. And then here's what I was talking to you about earlier. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? I believe what he was asking, what's the bare minimum for entrance? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And then Jesus goes into the parable of the Good Samaritan. We're not going to read that. You know that parable backwards and forwards. You're well acquainted with it. But like I was telling you earlier, I feel like we put God, when we put that scripture in there, because I see that man is saying, what's the bare minimum? Where's the loophole? How can I just get by? What's the shortcut? Whoever said that. What's the shortcut? Guys, I just believe we're kind of like those three guys out in the raft, and we're surrounded by water, but you can't drink any of it. And God's saying, I'm the living well. I am living water. But you got to take time to drink it and enjoy it. So John, let's go to our first question. Right, there's that scripture, the Ephesians, the same scripture I read. But here's our question to begin the day with. How do we recognize when we are squeezing God into our lives? How do we recognize or understand when we're just giving God bare minimum? We're just giving Him a little bit. How do we know when we're doing that? Good one. Good one. Upset when you have to leave work to go do something with the body of Christ. Yeah. Not looking forward. Okay. How else do we go about recognizing? When someone needs us and we already have, or we're thinking of an excuse to give them. Just taking time to recognize in His presence. Okay. Stephen? When it becomes a matter of inconvenience. You jumped all the way to the end. Can't do that. But just hear, just you saying it to us, but me hearing it, does anybody else hear that as, golly, that's a lot? And we're just talking about time. You're right, you're just talking about time. Well, I agree. I go see a 3-hour movie and it was kind of like, is over with already? So how else do we recognize when we're squeezing God into our lives? When it becomes a chore? Ooh. Don said, whenever you would think of it as wasting of time. Kind of using, we were joking about Don and Debbie the other night with the air conditioner being out. You know, we had opportunity to just be, to get some of us be together and people sharing stories about Don, how he's affected our lives. You know, we were together, I don't know, a couple, 2-3 hours, whatever it was, and it was sweating over there. We were eating good food. It didn't really seem like a chore to me. You know, I don't think anybody was there. It felt like we had to stay or be there. And what a gift. Anything else on how we recognize when we're squeezing God into our lives? I can remember being a small child and praying in bed at night. God, just, you know all the people in the world. Take care of them for me, would you? John, go to the next. Oh, Terry, go ahead and go to the next one. Go ahead, Terry. What lies do we believe when it comes to making time for God? And I think we've hit on some of those. But let's look at this question and see how it stimulates us today. What lies do we believe when it comes to making time for God? And I'm not just limiting this to early morning time or late at night. I'm talking about any time of the day, any place, anywhere. What lies do we believe when it comes time to making time for Him? Or a special place? I was always, Mike said there's always tomorrow. He's God. He'll get over it. He's full of grace. Yes. He's full of mercy. Yes. Jason said, He knows what I need, so why do I have to tell Him? Yes. What are the lies do we believe? Lies that we're believing. Kind of like what Terry was saying, what we put in when we're squeezed comes out. What are the lies are we falling prey to? That we own the time. Right. John, go to the next one, would you please? What steps do we take to stop squeezing Him into our lives? And I'll make it easy for you as an example. Just a thought. That family in that video, what should they be doing differently? Getting up earlier and going to bed earlier, okay? What steps do we take? Yeah, what did Jesus tell the religious ruler? He said, well, what does God ask us to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. And love your neighbor as yourself. What do we say all the time in this congregation? All the time. Jesus led with His love. What do we need to do? We need to lead with our love. I mean, if I believe God's busy in Australia this morning, then I know that sounds kind of silly because all of you would say, well, He's right here with us. That's true. But when we pray, do we pray like He's here with us or that we're trying to get His attention from the other side of the world? Don? That was the second service. They slept through the first one. Speaking of which, that little boy that had the no shoes on, I couldn't help but think of James Paskowskis his first day at school. For those who don't know, James, Jay, you tell the story. It's better. I'm sorry, but when I watched that video the other day, I was laughing thinking of James walking around school with no shoes on. What are the steps? You know, there's something about this that we haven't used this word, but you've implied it. In fact, what Don was just saying was implied was this. How's your attitude? Because when Kathy and James and Angie Moe and I took our kids to Whitewater and Six Flags, they were ready to go at my house at 6:30 a.m. to leave, to drive up there. And then the next day, they were up very easily to go to Six Flags. Now, none of them were more excited than me, but that's a different story. But in there somewhere or another, it requires an attitude check about a lot of things coming to head where the fruit that was bore could not be hidden any longer. Which, by the way, the story in Luke, the religious ruler, was he really more concerned about having it together or about getting in heaven? Just asking. Just something to think about, because was that family more concerned about looking like they had it together or were they there for the relationship that was the most important relationship? Because think about, remember the part about high-fiving? You know, and the people looking at them like, man, they've got it together. They came in, they're looking good. Well, let's look at the next one. What do we see in other Christians that tells us that they are squeezing God into their daily lives? What do we see in others? Chaos? Cheerful and always smiling? Kind of like they're putting on a front? Or when they're not squeezing Him in, there's a joyfulness to them? What do you see in other believers? It says they're meeting the minimum requirements for what they believe to be the minimum requirements. They don't have time for other believers. I'm going to throw out something for you to chew on. Because remember, we're talking about other believers here. We're not talking about the atheists or the agnostics or the Muslims here. Is that something that I see when people I believe are squeezing a relationship with God is they don't see the big picture. Small-mindedness, narrow-mindedness. Good example B is not understanding the nature of the battle that we talk about so often. That we have a real enemy. Not understanding the importance of the whole Bible. Not walking in the truth that they know. Not a hunger for growth. I can say all those because I include me. But I see those things. But I believe the number one on my list in that is, are you hungry for Him? John, go to the next one. What keeps us from giving God first place in all areas of our life? And what keeps us from giving God the throne in every area? The love of sin? The love of sin. What else keeps us from giving God first place in all areas of our lives? Not willing to submit. Not willing to give up control. What'd you say, Mike? Fear. Fear of what might happen if we give Him control. Fear that you end up missionaries in China. You know, every time I hear that, most of you probably don't know this, but Regina has friends that are actually missionaries. Are they in Siberia or are they just close to Siberia? They're in Siberia. She actually has friends that are missionaries in Siberia. Now, I don't know about you, but that'd be pretty low on my list. Okay? And they, how many years have they been over there? At least. Long time being faithful to literally an arid and dry place. Very literally. What else keeps us from giving God first place? John, go ahead and go to the last one. Don't have one more? Is that the last one? What does it look like when a Christian stops squeezing God into their schedule and makes Jesus Lord over every area of their life? Time, resources, gifts, talents. See, I told you would kind of jump into the end there on me. What's it look like? What's it look like in your life when you've done it? Or when you're doing it? Maybe you're doing it right now. What's it look like? Dusty's shaking his head no, because Oh. By the way, Audrey, you got any comments on that dusty thing? I just she left it up to you, Mom. Take care of it. Or Megan, you got any stuff? I know it. I know that I ask you, what does it look like? But here's a yes or no question for us to end on. Ask yourself this question 100 times a day. Do you really care? Because I think so often, how often do we really stop and think, do I really care what my relationship with God is like at this moment, today? Because I go back to the religious person. He cared about himself. But I don't know how much he really cared about a relationship with God the Father. I believe that family, when they walked in, they cared at that moment to look good. They had arrived, like Don said earlier. They checked something off a box that day. But I challenge each one of us this morning to ask ourselves honestly, how much do you really care about your relationship with God? Well, I challenge us this morning to ask God about this. And don't argue with Him when He speaks. Good word. Hard to love Him if we don't love ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we've spoken a lot of words this morning. And Lord, I would pray the ones that were of your heart, the desire of your heart this morning, they would stick. And they find very fertile soil. Lord, I pray today that there would be a closeness from each one of us with you. It's never been. Lord, the word that comes to mind, that we would relax in you. We bless you today. Lord, thank you. You never have to work us into your schedule. In Jesus' name, amen.